Many attributes. He has many, many attributes. And one of those attributes is his goodness, his grace, his mercy. And so okay. All right. We good. I think we good. All right. Our God is good. Our God is good. He's a good God. He's a good God. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for being the God who indeed has been good from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. And you are a good God, a gracious God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for you walking with us each and every day. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us reasonable health and strength. Thank you for putting food on the table. Thank you for putting clothes on our backs. Thank you, as the saints of old would say, waking us up sound and in our right mind. Some people woke up this morning, dear God, and they weren't in their right mind. So we thank you for sanctity of thought. We thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you for just allowing us and enabling us to put the left foot in front of the right foot, and things that we often take for granted, just basic things that you do every day of our lives. And we thank you, dear God. We thank you. Thank you for the privilege to come and sing to you and fellowship with other saints, and to read the scriptures and to pray and to even hear the preach word of God. So even now, dear God, quicken our hearts and our minds to hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, I've studied, I've prayed, but I have no words to say, dear God, unless you say them to me and through me. So speak now to us, your people, dear God. Sharpen us, quicken us, encourage us, convict us, build us up, dear God, in the most holy faith. That when we leave here today, our lights would be shining a little brighter. That when we leave here today, that we would indeed be better salt for the world. That we would indeed be even more in love with Jesus than when we first came this morning. Thank you, dear God. We do love you because you first loved us. You demonstrated your own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So thank you, dear God, for your sacrificial love. Thank you for your goodness again. And thank you for your mercy. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning one more time and take your Bibles as I continue this series, this spiritual warfare series out of Ephesians chapter 6. Turn with us, and it's in your bulletin as well, but turn with us to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 14, but our emphasis this morning is verse 14 as we look at the first piece of armor in this spiritual warfare that we're in. How many of y'all know that we're in a spiritual battle? Yes, as a redeemed of God, we're saved, and the penalty of sin has been canceled. We're not going to hell. Well, that's a good place for amen. We're not going to hell. But every day here on earth, sometimes we catch a little H-E-double-L. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual battle here on earth. For the Christian, this is the worst hell we're going to get here on earth, because we're going on to glory. Why live in this mess and then die and end up in it the rest of your life? I mean, that make any sense to me. So we thank God once again for his grace and his mercy. Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, to the church here at Love Fellowship this morning, It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. And that's my title this morning, an admonishment and encouragement to all of us to put on truth. To put on truth. Put on truth. You may be seated. Put on truth. T-R-U-T-H. Put on truth. I want to thank God for our ushers this morning. Brother Stephen Terman and his sisters Sydney and Rachel and also Marcus. We thank God for all of our young ushers. I didn't say it right. Our young ushers. Let me say it right. Thank God for our choir. They were the Fab Five this morning. They were the Fab Five. Fabulous Five. Put on truth. Put on truth. As I continue this spiritual warfare series, put on truth. There was a movie. Some of you all may remember it. There was a movie that came out several years ago entitled A Few Good Men. Anybody remember that movie? A Few Good Men. And the two main stars in that movie were Jack Nicholson, and he's one of my favorite actors, Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise. And near the end of that movie, Jack Nicholson, he was a high-ranking Army official, and he was on trial, for those of you who have seen that movie. And Tom Cruise was he was like the lawyer. He was trying to get the truth out of Jack Nicholson. So Nick Nicholson was on trial. Tom Cruise was you know, questioning him and asking him different questions and trying to extract or get the truth out of Jack Nicholson. And I remember Nicholson eventually kind of went off on a tirade and kind of went on and on. He finally said a statement that stuck with me over the years. He told Tom Cruise, he said, "You can't handle the truth." That's what he told Tom Cruise. "You can't handle the truth." So today, as we examine our first piece of armor, as we prepare for this spiritual battle that we are in, you and I got to remember that our enemy, the devil, he can't handle the truth. He can't handle the truth. That's why you and I, as Christians, as we're in this battle, in this war, we got to put on the truth. We got to put on the word of God. We got to put on the belt of truth, or the belt of truthfulness. It's so important. You and I must be people of truth. As followers of Christ, we got to be people of truth. We got to be people of integrity. We got to be people of truthfulness and not people who are hypocrites. Let me say that again. We need to be people of truth, living out what we believe, and not be people who are full of hypocrisy. Verse 14 starts out by talking about stand therefore. Verses 11 through 13 kind of gives us the background. I preached that a couple of weeks ago. We are told as Christians to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in the power of your might or my might, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are told, we are admonished to put on the whole armor of God. I just read it earlier. We're told that as we do that, as we are strong in his might, as we are putting on his armor, we can stand against the schemes of the devil. For this warfare that we're in, beloved, we don't fight. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. No, we wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We wrestle against powers, against the rulers of darkness. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against stuff that we cannot visually see. And so since we are doing that, since we're in a battle against stuff that we can't see, we got to fight it with spiritual armor. And the first piece of armor, once again, beloved, is the belt of truth, or the belt of truthfulness. Now, God is encouraging us to stand. He tells us three times in four verses to stand. He says, stand against the schemes of the devil. He says, stand against wickedness. He says, therefore, stand. So you and I, as Christians, we are to stand. We're in a battle. We are to stand. We're not to surrender or wave the white flag. We are to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. How many of y'all know that as we stand, we don't stand alone? Matter of fact, if you are standing, you're standing because God himself, because Jesus himself, because the Holy Spirit himself is enabling you and me to stand. So be encouraged this morning. When you and I stand against the enemy, when we stand against the flesh, when we stand against this world, we don't stand in our own strength. I said, we don't stand in our own strength. The Lord is standing with us. Oh, and that's good news, beloved. That's a good place to say amen. The Lord is standing with us. We don't stand alone. The Lord is standing with us. He has given us some equipment, some armor to put on that we might be able to stand. You know, high schools, colleges, and even pro football teams are beginning their training camps now. I'm a football fan. And I assure you that they are getting, Coach Ward, I'm sure they are getting properly dressed. I assure you they're putting on their shoulder pads and putting on their helmets and their thigh pads, Aaron. I'm sure they're getting ready, getting their cleats to put on. I know Aaron played football last year, getting all those things ready. It would be a fool to go out there on the football field without a helmet on his head. A person would be foolish to go out there and fight everybody else on football and they got on pads and they don't have on any pads. So it is, beloved, for you and me to go into this spiritual warfare without our belt of truth. Without the full armor of God on, we need to be properly dressed, properly attired, properly equipped that we might be victorious in our daily living for the Lord. So put on the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truthfulness. I like how the ESV says it. Verse 14 says, gird up our loins with the belt of truth. You know, today we don't typically talk like that. I don't hear anybody say, I got up this morning, I girded up my loins with my belt. We don't typically talk like that. I like how the ESV says, having fastened on the belt of truth. Having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, in these following verses, more than that. The devil got to come with something a little better than that. You know, thank God for hot batteries, new batteries. But this imagery in these following verses, the writer Paul, as the Holy Spirit is guiding him, he's talking about a Roman soldier. Everybody in those days, they would kind of know visually what a Roman soldier looked like. Just like today, we would know what a fireman looks like, what a policeman, what they look like with their equipment on, what a soldier, our daily soldier. So this Roman soldier, part of their wardrobe was a belt. Their uniform was kind of a loose-fitting uniform, kind of like a cloak or a tunic. So they really needed a belt to hold their uniform together. They needed a belt to keep everything tight and right. They needed a belt just like you and I need belts today. Unless you want to try to bust the sag, and you know, really you shouldn't bust the sag. Pull your pants up and put your belt on. You know, this is a side note, but this thing, you know, I know it's been around for a while, but I see young ladies busting a sag. Now, I'm like, man, this thing has gone too far. So today we wear belts if we want to keep our pants up. We wear belts. So it was with the Roman soldier. I mean, most of their fighting was hand-to-hand combat. And if they did not have a belt on, also their belt, they could hang off a sword on their belt or other things on their belt. So their belt was used not just to hold their wardrobe together, their uniform together, but also to hang off important things on their belt. Can you imagine a Roman soldier trying to fight and he's only fighting with one hand because he's holding up his uniform and trying to fight like this? No, he would be, you know, at a disadvantage if he didn't have his belt on. So we are, beloved, as Christians, if we're not putting on our belt, the belt of truth, if we're not hiding God's word in our heart, his truthfulness, if we're not hiding his word in our heart and living it out, we're fighting at a disadvantage. I said, we're fighting at a disadvantage. You and I got to be people of the truth and people of truthfulness. You and I need the belt of truth. See, you and I need God's truth to guide your life. You need the Spirit to enable you to live a life of truthfulness and not one, once again, of hypocrisy like the Pharisees. Because see, the Pharisees, many of them, if not all of them, they knew the Word of God in their head. You know, Jesus often told them, "So you all honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." So when the Word of God says, put on the belt of truth, hear me well, it's not talking about just putting on the objective truth, just reading your Bible. It's talking about reading it, yes, obeying it, yes, applying it and living it out on a daily basis. So it's more than just having it in our heads, saints. I think most of us probably know enough Bible. Most of us probably know enough Word to live pretty good. But the thing is, the challenge for you and me is to live it out. Can I get an amen? I mean, most of us are educated well beyond our level of obedience. We know what to do. We know what's right in many cases. But the challenge for you and me as we put on this belt of truth is to live this truth out each and every day. Don't just be a hearer or a reader of the Word of God, but be a doer of the Word of God. Be a doer of the Word of God. That's what the belt of truth is talking about. Not just the objective truth, but to live it out. To apply it to your life and mine. Jesus even said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall set you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. So many Christians are shackled because they don't know and they aren't living out the truth. Jesus said, you should know the truth. Remember, the devil can't handle the truth. Remember? He's allergic to the truth. Can't handle it. He can't handle the truth. The Bible says that the devil, he's the father of all lies. So we must confront him with the truth. And Jesus, he gives us a great example of that. He tells us how to do that. He shows us in Luke chapter 4. You can turn there in Luke chapter 4. When the devil comes, it's also in Matthew, but in Luke chapter 4, the devil comes against Jesus. And Jesus, every time, Jesus said, it is written. This is the truth, devil. This is the truth, Satan. It is written. So Jesus shows us how you and I, once again, can put on this belt of truth, live victorious in this Christian life. Turn with me real briefly to Luke chapter 4. This is a sermon in and of itself. I've preached it before, so I'm just going to give you the high points, the cleft note version of it. Luke chapter 4. You're probably going to beat me there. I got a new Bible this week, and so, you know, you had to break in your new Bible. Am I the only one? When you get a new Bible, you just, you know, your old Bible just fall right where you needed to go. It just find the verses on its own, seem like. But you get a new Bible, you struggling and you trying to, pages sticking together. You're like, man, did they move the Bible books? Did they move the books? It's just a new Bible. Just got to break it in. Got to get it some edumacation. Got to work with it for a few weeks, few months and get it trained. But in Luke chapter 4, the gospel writer records Jesus and how he's going to show you and me how we can put on truth and live it out, especially as we confront the enemy, the devil, and this world, and even our own flesh, Sister Kiki, even as we confront even our own flesh. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted, watch that, being tempted by the devil. He's the tempter, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, after those 40 days, Jesus ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. So our enemy, the devil, he's very strategic. He's very smart. And he's good to God's devil. I don't want to put him up too high, but he is a shrewd and tricky and a dirty fighter. Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days. So the devil said, okay, I'm going to come at him by something that's going to really kind of get him where he's weak. If you hadn't eaten in 40 days, you're hungry. You're hungry. So the first thing the devil says in verse 3, he says, the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Here is the truth, devil. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So that's a great pattern. When the devil comes against you with certain temptations, certain accusations, whatever it might be, you got to say, it is written. You got to come with the Word of God. Don't try to come with your little logic. Don't try to come with what Ray Ray told you to do. Don't try to come with what the TV told you to do. I mean, you got to come with the Word of God. So the next temptation, verse 5 says, then the devil, taking Jesus up on a high mountain, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, Jesus, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. See, the devil has some delegated authority. That's why the Bible refers to him as the God, the little G-O-D, the God of this world. God has allowed him certain things, certain privileges. So sometimes be careful even when you get blessed. The devil, he try to bless you too. Like, let me give you a quick example. You can go in a store and, you know, you purchase something, and maybe let's go old school. You purchase it by cash. I know we live kind of in a cashless society and everybody use bank cards and credit cards, but you use cash. Let me pause a minute. There's a graduate right there, Sister Nawana. There's a graduate right there. Amen. And you buy something, and let's say it costs $10. You give the cash register a $20 bill. And they give you a $20 bill back. Now, let's do our math. You bought something worth $10. You gave them a $20. You should get back how much? $10. There you go. That's math 101. We passed that. Math 101. And they give you a $20 bill back. Don't be putting that bill in your pocket. God blessed me today. He blessed me with an extra $10. No. That's the devil trying to get you in trouble and get the cash register in trouble. Just give them the $20 back. Say, ma'am or sir, you just owe me $10 back. Now, don't act like you've never done that or never been tempted to do that. Now, don't act like you've never. But the devil, he tries to bless you a little bit too. But he told Jesus, he said, Jesus, if you just bow down really and worship me, all this authority has been given to me and I give it to you. If you just worship before me, all this will be yours. Now, Jesus could have said, fool, it's already mine. It's already mine. But Jesus answered and said to him in verse 8, he kind of said that. He said, get behind me, Satan. For, what's the next word? It is written. Here's the truth. Here's the word of God. This is what I'm operating out of. I'm God the Son. I am the Word, but I'm operating out of the Word. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Hear me well. If you don't pick up anything else from this whole sermon today, you need to at least grab on that one verse right there. When Jesus said, we shall worship the Lord your God only, and only him shall you serve. Don't be serving some of the idol God. Don't be serving yourself. Serve the real God, the true and living God. Serve Jesus Christ and worship him only. Then the devil brought Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. No, he didn't. Even the devil tried to quote a little Bible. He knows a little scripture. Now, he'll get it and twist it out of context and, you know, all that type of stuff. But he knows some scripture, too. That's why it's all important for you and me to be like the Berean Christians. Study the word of God for ourselves. Don't just take people's word for it. That goes for me or any other preacher or pastor or anybody you're talking to. You open up your Bible and search it out for yourselves. Because sometimes people tell you anything and put the Lord's name on it. Well, you know, the Bible says you take one step and God will take two. Where is that in the Bible? That ain't nowhere in the Bible. You take one step and God will take two. So you got to study the word of God for yourself, because even the devil, he knows a little bit of the scriptures. So he said, it is written, he shall give his angels, and this is out of Psalms 91, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, or it is written, or this is the truth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. We shouldn't tempt God. Yeah, God is our protector. God is watching over us, but we don't do foolish stuff. I'm not going to run out in the middle of Roanoke Avenue and say, God is protecting me. He is my shield, so I'm going to run out in front of this car. No, don't tempt God. Don't tempt God. So now when the devil had ended every temptation, see, he can't handle the truth. He had to get the step in. When he had ended every temptation, he departed. Y'all see that? He departed. He left Jesus alone. He departed from Jesus until an opportune time. So he was coming back for more. He was coming back. But because of the truth was displayed by Jesus on the devil had to leave. Remember, he is allergic to the truth. So how do you and I live victoriously in this Christian life? We got to live out the truth. We got to be people of the word. We got to spend time with God. We got to hide his word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Now back to Ephesians. I just want to give you that real life example from the master. no better, no more perfect example than the Lord Jesus Christ. When we try to see how we should handle a situation in our lives, read the Gospels, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see how Jesus handled people. See how Jesus handled situations. And say, Lord, help me to do it just like you did it. I know I'm not you, but your spirit is in me, and I want to live just like you live. So help me to do it the way you did it. So we see when the enemy comes against us, what's our best defense? The Bible. The Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. So Jesus shows us the exact thing. He wisely and masterfully used the truth, the Word of God. So that's what you and I must do if we're going to be able to stand. Many Christians, I'm not talking about unsaved folks now, I'm talking about Christians. That's why even in the Christian church, a lot of our stats don't look much different from the world. Because we're not striving to live out the Word of God. That's why pretty much the divorce rate is about 50% in the world, it's about 50% in the church. I can go on and on down the list. That's just one area. So you and I, many Christians are falling because they aren't standing on the truth. They aren't standing on God's Word. So since Jesus handled the devil by using the truth, the Word of God, what do you think you should do? How in the world do you think you're going to be victorious in a spiritual battle if you're using worldly or carnal methods and philosophies? You know, the devil comes at you with a temptation and you think about, you come up with some old crazy stuff that somebody told you 10 years ago that's not even a Christian. Say, well, I'll try this. No, don't. You need to pull up the Word of God. Once again, like I said, don't use what Ray Ray told you to do. It boggles my mind sometimes. Let me just jump on marriage again. Sometimes how a marriage person, male or female, could be having issues perhaps. And then they go get wisdom from a person that might have had about 3 or 4 or 5 divorces. So wait a minute. They must not know too much. Go to the source. Go to the Word of God. Go to God himself. And he will give you what to say and how to act in a certain situation. Don't use worldly logic to combat the devil. No. You got to use God's word, starting with the belt of truth. Once again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. The truth will enable you and me to be people of truthfulness. Here's an acronym for the word truth, T-R-U-T-H. T-R-U-T-H, you might want to jot this down just as we talk about putting on the belt of truth, part of our armor as we're in this spiritual warfare, this battle that goes on every day out here, but also inside. How many of y'all know the true battle is really within? The true battle is within, between the flesh and the spirit. The true battle is right in here. If I can take care of me, this guy I'm looking at in the mirror every morning, I can handle what's going on out there. So the truth, T-R-U-T-H, T-T, tell everybody the truth. Tell everyone about the one, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So tell others about the truth. Tell others about Jesus. Tell others about Jesus. Tell others the truth. As we talk about living out the truth, tell others, Brother Joe, about the truth, about Jesus. That was the central theme of our VBS this week, equipped to evangelize, a journey for Jesus. Tell others about Jesus. The R in truth, as we're telling others about the Lord, and even as we're encouraging fellow saints too who are believers, but as we're telling the unsaved about the Lord, as you reach out, the R in truth is reach. Reach out to the one who the world calls the unreachable. Reach out to that crazy cousin that you only see 2 or 3 times a year at family functions. Unless you might run into him at Walmart, as our minister Bray said last week. You run into everybody at Walmart, you know. But reach out to that unreachable person. Reach out to that unfriendly neighbor. And I got to grow a little bit in that area myself. Y'all pray for your pastor. When I'm walking my neighborhood or riding my bike, you know, we got a pretty friendly little neighborhood and you wave at folks. But sometimes you wave at folks and I don't know why it messes with me so much. You just wave at folks and they just look at you and they don't even wave back. They just look at you like you're crazy, like you lost your mind. And I must confess and admit, oftentimes when that happens to me, my first instinct is not to pray for them. That's not my first instinct. My first thing is some other crazy stuff that runs through my mind. Or we need to reach out even to those unreachable persons, that person on your job that get on your last nerve, you know, pray for them and see how God would have you to maybe show them the light of Christ. So truth, I mean, tell others about Jesus, tell others the truth, live the truth, and R, reach out even for what we call the unreachable. The you in truth, as you reach out to those who are unreachable, if you will, the you is understanding that everyone would not want to listen. Everybody don't want to hear the truth. Can I get an amen? Everybody don't want to hear the truth. So you got to understand, as you and I, as people of the truth, putting on the belt of the truth, living out the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, everybody don't want to hear the truth. They might say something like, well, we don't want to hear the old Bible stuff. We don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. So you got to understand that everybody don't want to hear the truth. Everybody's not going to believe. Everybody's not going to be saved. Every Christian who's maybe living a crazy life don't want to be a word of rebuke. Sometimes some Christians don't even want a word of encouragement. So you got to understand that as you and I live out the truth, that everybody, just like what Jack Nicholson said, everybody can't handle the truth. Everybody don't want to hear the truth. I remember when I was lost. And I've shared this with you all a time or two before. I have in small settings, talking about people who don't want to hear the truth. I remember this guy used to come by my apartment when I lived in Red Bank and worked downtown. He'd come by my apartment, share the truth. Nice brother, good brother. I was unsaved. He'd come by my apartment. He did that off and on for about a whole year, just spending time trying to pour Christ into me. And part of me was really enjoying it, and part of me, I was like, man, I don't know if I want him to come by today. And some time went on, a few months went by where I didn't see him, didn't hear from him and all that. We didn't have cell phones back then. It was the late 80s. And so you can kind of dodge people a little easier, so to speak. I remember talking about how a lot of times people don't want to hear the truth. I remember I was up near where Blue Cross is now, up by Zayers, and I was in my car. And I saw him about three or four lanes over walking by, the same guy who was a Christian who had been sharing with me. And part of me was excited. Oh, there's my boy. But then another part of me, the flesh part of me, I tell you what I did. I confess. I hid down in my car. I was like, I hope he don't see me. Because he's going to be asking me, what you been doing? How you been living? Are you following Jesus? I eased down in my seat. He went on, and when he went on that where he was paying a bill, I took on off. So understand, sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. You think about it. All your life, you hadn't wanted to hear the truth all the time. Tell the truth and shame the devil. You hadn't always wanted to hear the truth. Now as a Christian, we should embrace the truth. We love the truth. But as we share with others, understand, everybody don't want to hear the truth. The next T in truth is, as you're sharing, as you're telling people about Jesus, as you're reaching out to the unreachable, as you're understanding that some will reject, the next T is trust in God. Trust God that he will work it out. He's just called us to live out truth in our own lives. Trust him for the results. Just like that brother that I was just talking about, he kept, the seeds were already planted from growing up in the church, but he kept watering that seed, and a few years later, by God's grace, God gave it the increase. And he was one of the first guys I talked to after I got saved. So as we share with others the truth, and as we live out the truth, trust God for the results. So God, I plant, I water, and somebody else water, and he plants and she waters. But you, dear God, you're going to give it the increase. You're going to work it out however you want to work it out. And then the H in truth is, because we're telling others about Jesus, we're reaching out to the unreachable. We're understanding that some people will reject us or reject the truth. But we're trusting God that he's going to work all that out. And then the H in truth is, we got help. We got help. Anybody need, am I the only one needs some help every day of my life? We got some help. We have help. Matter of fact, we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. He is with us. He is in us. He leads us. He guides us. He goes before us. He convicts the world of sin. He encourages us. He empowers us. We got some help. I said, we got some help. We're not trying to live out this thing on our own because we have failed every time. But we got help. We got the Holy Spirit. That's why the Lord tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We got the helper. We got the Holy Spirit in us. And if he's in us, we're more than a conqueror. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. So trust the Lord to work that thing out. We got the Holy Spirit in us. It pleases God when he sees us living and telling the truth. I think it's 1 John. It talks about how God, nothing pleases him more than seeing his children living out the truth. And here are some truths. that you need to hide in your heart. This is a little something, little something that as you daily put on the belt of truth, and we practice putting on this armor called the belt of truth. Here's a few verses from the Word of God that should encourage your heart this morning. Some of these you know, and some of these you might not know. But as you're living out the truth, you got to be confident in the Lord and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to be confident in the Lord. And I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. You got to, when you start getting a little anxious or a little fearful, you got to say, wait a minute. I got on the belt of truth. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, when the enemy comes against you, just like Jesus did, we got to say, it is written. You got to think about a psalm like Psalm 27. Write some of these down and read them later in your devotional time this week. I know y'all are going to be spending time in the Bible this week, right? Oh, y'all are kind of weak. Yes, I know you're going to be spending. Well, better to be weak than to lie and be like, yeah, I'm going to be in the Bible all week. But you're going to be in the Word this week, right? People of truth. You got to be in the truth. I mean, if we set our little stuff on neutral and say, well, I'm just going to kind of ease through this week and just kind of do life. And next thing you know, your mind going to be drifted all off to stuff that's not the truth. You got to be vigilant. You and I got to spend time with the Lord. Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the time of trouble, God shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Psalms 27 goes on and says, so wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So you got to hide some words like that in your heart and mind. Put on the belt of truth. Walk in truthfulness. Rely on God's truth. Put on Jesus. See, when you're feeling all alone, when you're kind of down and out, you got to remember that the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you think you're not going to make it through, you got to remember how the psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen a righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You got to remember the truth. You got to stand on the truth. Stand on God's word. Don't go off so much about what the world is saying, about what the devil said, about what your own feelings say. When you're feeling condemned as a Christian, maybe, you know, you did something, you sinned, and it might have been what you call a bad sin. And you said, man, I've blown it. And the little devil started whispering in your ear, talking about, see, I thought you was a Christian. Look at what you just said. Look at what you just did. And then you begin to feel down and condemned. You got to remember that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You got to encourage your heart with the word of God. When you think, you got to think about, hey, okay, yeah, I sin. I'm going to confess. I'm going to repent. I know God has told me if I just confess my sins, he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Maybe you're thinking, man, I don't think I have a future. I mean, I've blown it. I've messed up. I messed up in school. I messed up on this job. I messed up in my marriage. I messed up doing this. And I messed up in the church. But you got to remember Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. Y'all know this verse where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Now, any of us can say that, but the Lord is saying, he said, I know the plans I have for you. Yeah, you blew it. Yeah, you might have gotten off track, but I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Hey, G3 told us that Thursday night at the VBS. I got a future. The prophet Isaiah says, the Lord gives strength to the weary. Any of y'all feeling a little weary every now and then? The Lord gives us strength. One thing about VBS, you know, those are kind of long days. You know, you hear kind of late at night and then you go home. If you're like me, I was trying to catch a little bit of the convention. I watched a little bit of the Republican convention and watched a little bit of the Democratic convention. The next thing you know, you're going to bed late. Then another long day. You get a little weary every now and then. You say, God, give me some strength. I need strength. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. And they will walk and not become weary. That's Isaiah 40 and 31. Like I said, write these references down. I'm just talking about putting on truth. I'm just talking about putting on the belt of truth, the belt of truthfulness, how you can walk in holiness and walk in integrity and walk in truthfulness. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Oh, you ought to praise him. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. I'm just preaching the word of God. I'm just preaching from the Bible. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all your needs," not all your wants and desires, but all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So as a Christian, you know all your needs are going to get taken care of. And sometimes, as we minister one to another, as Brother Rodney prayed earlier, sometimes the need for a person is right there in your pocket. Let me slow that down. Sometimes the need for a person is right there in your own pocket. Don't be saying, go and be warm and be fair. Yeah, I pray for you. Sometimes the answer to that prayer is right there in your pocket. Y'all catch that on the way home. Exodus 15:2 says, I'm just talking about, here's some truth that you can put on and live it out each day. Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him." In Exodus, the saint said, "The Lord is my strength." Moses said, "The Lord is my strength." You know this one. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Just a little armor, just a little stuff to put the belt of truth, some truth in your heart and mind, and to live it out daily. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation." Somebody said, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." But God is faithful, and God is faithful, and God is faithful, who will not, listen to this, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it, that you will be able to bear it. So we can't be talking about, well, the devil made me do it. No, that's a lie. God always gives us a way out. Sometimes we may not take it, but he always gives us a way out. He never allows us to be tempted beyond what we are able with him strengthening us. He would have never allowed all that to happen to Job if he didn't know Job could kind of handle all of that. Let's be honest. Most of us couldn't handle that Job day. I don't know about you. I couldn't handle that Job day. But God knew that Job could handle this. He could handle this. So he knows what you can handle and what I can handle. He said, he promised us, "I'm not going to even allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." So that Flip Wilson Geraldine character back in the late 60s, early 70s, talking about, "The devil made me do it." That's not biblical. That's not Christian. The devil can't make us do anything. Now, he tempts us. He entices us. He seduces us, just like he did with Jesus. But he can't make us do anything. Amen? Listen to what David says in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. Says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." You got to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Joshua 1:9 said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." See, beloved, and I know I'm still growing in this myself. As we quote verses like that, as we read Bible verses like that, you got to internalize and say, "God, wherever I go, I know you are with me. When I go on my job tomorrow, and it might be a tough situation I'm going to face on my job tomorrow, you are with me. When my family is having some tough decisions to make, maybe financial, maybe something marital, maybe something with the kids, maybe something with the aging parents, God, you are with me, whatever I'm dealing with. You are with me to give me wisdom and strength to make it through that situation." He is with us. I say, he is with us. Our God is with us. We serve a God who is with us. Look back over your life and just think about it for a moment. That every moment of your life, from childhood up until now, our God has been with us. As an elementary school person, as a middle school person, as a high schooler, if you went to college, in your 20s and 30s, God has been with you. In your 40s or 50s, God has been with you. In your 60s or 70s, God has been with you. He has been with us all the way. He is a good God and a faithful God. His track record is impeccable. He has always been with us. Even when we weren't acknowledging him, even when we weren't praising him, even when we were on Sunday in church on Sunday morning, God has still been with us. So surely now, as a born-again believer, he's going to be with us. He's with us. This is for the unsaved person. Here, Romans 10:9. This is for the unsaved. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now look, I'm not trying to evoke emotionalism. But when you think about that for a moment, the word of God says, whoever calls on the name of the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could have been an ex-murderer, an ex-homemonger, an ex-thief, an ex-liar, an ex, you fill in the blank. But if you call on the name of the Lord, if you sincerely repent and call on the name of Jesus, say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, my life is messed up, it's jacked up, but I throw my life at the cross. I throw my life to you. Whoever. Somebody say whoever. Am I the only one kind of excited about God as a whoever God? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad I was one of those whoevers. I'm glad I called on the name of the Lord and he saved me. And he heard my cry. And as we walk with him daily, we can call on him for deliverance. We can call on him for victory. We can call on him for help and hope. And he will answer the cries of his people. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, we have a glorious gospel. That's good news. I said, that's good news. How God can take people like you and me. I said, how God can take people like you and me who were sinking deep in sin and pull us up and cleanse our hearts and mind, give us a new heart, a new mind, put us on a new path, take us out the pathway to hell and put us on a pathway to heaven. Oh, that's a good God. That's a gracious God. That's a merciful God. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't have a hope so or maybe so or think so really. We have a know so faith. First John 5 says, God said, I'm written this, whoever believes in the name of the Son of God, that you might know, K-N-O-W, you might know that you have eternal life. Somebody might say, why the preacher, why the pastor hollering at me? I'm just excited. We got a know-so religion. We're not a hope-so, but a know-so religion. If I die today, I know where I'm going. And it's not because I've been so great and so good. It's because I'm in a great God. I'm in a great Christ. I'm wrapped up in him. Jesus said, if you're in my hands, nobody can pluck you out. He said, you're also in my Father's hands. Nobody can pluck you out. So that's a great doctrine of the Christian faith. A great doctrine of the Bible is eternal security. Titus 3:7, I'm almost through. Titus 3:7 says, being justified, being declared righteous, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I remember Deacon Lowe talked about that last week during Sunday Blast Time. We might be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 2 Timothy 4:17, I'm just talking about putting on truth. 2 Timothy 4:17 says, but the Lord, this is Paul. Paul said this one time when everybody forsook him. Paul said, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. You can be encouraged today, saint. God will always stand by you and strengthen you. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me. I'm just talking about putting on truth, the belt of truth. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find rest. Anybody need rest today? You will find not just physical rest, but spiritual and mental and emotional rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the Christian, a lot of times, one of our problems is we get saved by our faith in Christ, right? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But then sometimes, after salvation, sometimes, I think not consciously or knowingly, we begin to say, I'm going to live this thing out in my own strength. No, just like you couldn't get saved by works, you can't live out the works in your own strength. You and I need the Lord for everything that we do every day. We need God so that we might think right and talk right and act right and do right. You and I need the belt of truth. I said, we need the belt of truth. Well, let me get personal. I need the belt of truth. You don't want your pants sagging all around town. You put on your belt. Put on the belt of truth. That your life might not be sagging all around town. In Romans 8:31, the latter part of that verse said, if God is for us. I say, if God is, I'm just preaching the Bible. If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, that ought to encourage somebody. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who's bigger and badder than our God? If God is for us, who can be against us, Brother Tommy? If God is for me, if God is for you, who can be against us? Mark 20 and 27, looking at them, Jesus said, as grandmama used to say, all the Bible is the word of God, right? You know, our grandparents and great grandparents, they loved the Lord. They had said some good stuff, but sometimes their theology might not have been real tight, but I knew what they meant. I remember when grandma said, now when you're reading your Bible, when you get to the red part, that's when Jesus is talking, pay extra attention. And that is true, but really, grandmama, I should be paying extra attention to all of it, Genesis to Revelation. But Jesus did say this, the red part, Mark 20, 27, looking at them, Jesus said, with people, it is impossible. With people, it is, if you're dependent on just people, it is impossible, Jesus said, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. The Bible says, why fear man who can only take your life, but fear God who can take your life and your soul. Luke 1:37 kind of reiterates what Mark said in Mark 20. He says, for nothing will be impossible with our God. Y'all hear that? Nothing would be impossible without God. If it's in the will of God, if it's in the word of God, in the will of God, guess what? It can be pulled off by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58, since we know that nothing is impossible with God. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't grow weary, the Bible says, in well-doing. Keep on living out the truth. Keep on living for the truth. Sometimes it's like it's not adding up on this side. You know, sometimes like it, and it may not ever quite get right. It won't ever quite get right on this side. But we're just sojourners. This is not our home. We're just passing through. I don't care if you got the finest mansion in town. It's nothing. It pales in comparison to our heavenly home. We're just passing through. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep putting on the belt of truth. Keep living for the truth, even though most of the world, most of society, once again, can't handle the truth. I got one more passage to share with you, and I'll be through with you. I'll let you go. Romans 8:37-39. As we put on truth, remember this. But in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced, one translation said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, sound like some of those things we read about in Ephesians 6. Paul in Romans said, nor angels, nor life, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul is simply saying in a concise sentence, he's saying nothing can stop us with God on our side. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Your own failures and mess ups can't separate you from the love of God. Yes, it could bring the discipline of God on us, but it can't separate you from the love of God. The devil definitely can't separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The world can't separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Your own flesh can't separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You got to remember, God demonstrated, he demonstrated his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So put on the belt of truth. Put on truthfulness. Live out in a way. Live truthfully and be a person of integrity. Live in holiness. Live and live in the truth of the Lord. Because we have a victory in Christ. I said, we have the victory in Christ. We have the victory in Christ. So put on the belt of truth. And in a word, just put on Jesus. Put on Jesus and wear him well. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he woke us up this morning. I said, he woke us up this morning. He gave us reasonable health and strength. He is our provider. He is the one who watches over us. He is our peace. He is our bridge over troubled water. He is our way out of no way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. He is the good shepherd. He is our high tower. He's our stronghold. He's our fortress. He's our truth. He's our truth and our way. And he is the one who's leading us every day. And the Bible says, yea, though you walk through the valley the shadow that I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he said one time, he said, man, wait a minute, something was following me. He said, surely goodness and mercy, that's like grace and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. So the psalmist said, I got this thing whipped because God is on my side. It's a fixed fight. He's already conquered the enemy. He just tells us to stand. He just tells us to stand on his word, to stand in the word, stand on his truth, and live for him. Oh, give him a hand clap of praise. Give him a hand clap of praise. I'm through. But we got to put on the belt of truth. You got to read the word of God. You got to hide in your heart. You got to live it out by his spirit. By his spirit. Everybody who can stand, please stand.